Hello everyone, welcome to the Shir Maseches Megillah. We're holding at the bottom of Chaf Hey Amud Beis. We just started the last parak, or we'll be starting it today. So let's jump right into it. It says, B'nei Ha'ir, people of the city, Shemacheru Chov V'Shalir. They sold the street of the city, or the city square, place where people would gather. Lokhim B'damav, basic Inesis. One can buy with that value, with that money that brought in, selling it, a shul. Basic Inesis, Lokhim Teva. Basic Knesset, you could buy a teva, which nowadays we call the bima, the place where the Torah is read and where they put the Sefer Torah down. I should clarify a little bit. Basic Knesset, we translate as a shul. Nowadays, a place where people pray. It could be, at one point, it wasn't only used for that. It could be used for other communal events also, but also for tefillah. So again, there's a hierarchy here. If they sell the city square, they can buy a basic Knesset. Sell a basic Knesset, they can buy a teva. Teva lochin mit pachos. If they sell the teva, they can buy mitpachos, which were the coverings used for scrolls, either Sefer Torah or Nevi'im Ksuvim. Mitpachos, if they sell those covers, yikhu svarim, then they can buy svarim, which are the nach themselves, scrolls of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Svarim lochin Torah, and if they sell those, they can buy Sefer Torah. Aval im machru Torah lo yikhu svarim, but they can't go backwards. If they sold the Torah, they can't buy with that money svarim. Svarim lo yikhu mitpachos, if they sell svarim, they can't buy the coverings. Mitpachos lo yichu teva. If they sell those, they can't buy the teva, the bima. Teva lo yichu basic nesses. And they sell the teva, they can't buy the shul. Basic nesses lo yichu es harachov. And if they sell a shul, they can't buy with that money a city square, a public area to gather. The chemim osrehen, and so too with their leftovers, meaning any extra money that's left, if they were to be going even the first part of the Mishnah where it was mutter, they would sell the city square and they buy a shul, but they didn't use all the money the city square was, actually that's not a good example. They sold the shul, let's say, the second one in the Mishnah. And with that money of selling the shul, they bought a teva, but it didn't take all the money of selling a shul to have some left over. They can't go and now use that money to buy a city square. They can't, just because it's a leftover, it doesn't lose any of its any of the rule that we discussed. The basic rule Rashi points out over here, and the Gemara is going to say, is that there's a klal of ma'ilin b'kodesh ve'ein maridin. That means we always go up in holy things. Meaning to say, these items in the Mishnah, the city square doesn't have so much kedusha. The basic nesses has more. The teva has more, etc. You can only rise from where you were, and you can't go down. So hence the last part of the Mishnah, if they sold something with a higher level of kedusha, they can't buy with that money something at a lower level. Rashi on our Gemara anyway brings that this is a limud from two places. The idea of Ma'alim Kodesh is learned from Moshe Rabbeinu and the Mishkan, that Bezalel made the items, and Moshe, that was greater than him, he stood up the Mishkan, and it had to go in that order. It had to go up. It couldn't go back down. It couldn't be that Bezalel again would raise the Mishkan. And then the other part of it, that we don't go down in Kedusha, they learned from the fact that the Adas Korach, the people in the assembly of Korach, brought fire pans. They were used as a korban of sorts. They died from that incident. And then that had to be made into rikui pachim tzipui l'mizbeach, some sort of coating for the mizbeach, being that they were a korban, you couldn't go down and make them any less of kedusha. Even though in their meaning it wasn't korban in the plain sense, but it was used as a kiddush Hashem, so they couldn't go down from that. So says the Gemara, b'nei ha'ir shemachar rechov v'shal ir, quotes the Mishnah. It says, Amar Rabba bar Rav Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zudiver Menachem bar Yosi stumsa. These words that in the Mishnah that appear anonymous, Tumsa, unauthored, are the opinion of Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi. Chacham say, Harachov Embo Mishum Kedusha. The street, the city square, doesn't have any Kedusha in it. Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi, my time. What is the reason Menachem Bar Yossi holds it doesn't have Kedusha? Ho the Om is Palimbo Betanios of Ma'amados. Being that the people gathered to pray in the city square during fast and Ma'amados. Fast, this is detailed in Maseches Tainis, that there were a series of fasts that they would have if there was a drought. And at one point, it says that the people, is sort of a last type of effort over there, all the fasts that they did had passed, and the drought wasn't taken care of. Hashem didn't answer by giving rain. So at one point, they would go in and pray and gather together in the city square itself. And the Ma'amados, we referred to this one time before, that the people, the Kohanim, let's say, are divided up in 24 shifts. The Levim also go with that and sing on each korban, but there's also a need for Yisrael b'ma'amad. The Jewish people, the Yisraelim, had to be there when the korbanos are being offered, the korban atamid. And so that was divided up also amongst the Jewish people, 24 groups. And not everybody from each group will go to Yerushalayim and be there. There were too many people. So other people would stay in their own cities, and they would be in the city square and davening there and fast beforehand, Rashi brings, and that would you know, they would pray for the acceptance of the korban. There are girsas, though, the Rashi brings from the Ri, which is not the Ri Alevi, it's not the Ri that we know as the Baal Tosfos, that take out Ma'amados, because it's difficult to understand the Tanakhama's, Menachem Yossi Shita, that would cause Kedusha there. After all, they were only there twice a year in each city square. So it's very little time actually was spent there because of this. So according to that, it would take out the Girsa. But our Gemara anyway has it. So if we have the Girsa, that's what it refers to. Rabbanan Ahu HaKrai Ba'alma. Rabbanan argue back with this exact point that is a Krai Ba'alma, that's, on occasion, not a set thing that people are praying in the city square. Continues the Gemara. Beis HaKnesses. Yeah, if we have a shul, the Mishnah said, the beginning of the Mishnah, it said, Beis HaKnesses, Lochin Teva, you sell a shul, you can buy the Amud, the Bima, I should say. Amar Rabbi Shul, Bar Nachmini, Amar Rabbi Yonason. Lo Shana El Beis HaKnesses, Shalk Farm. The idea that you can sell a shul is only true about a shul owned by villages, by individuals in a small place. Aval Beis HaKnesses, Shalk Kachim, a shul that is the property of a large city, used by a large city. So, Kaven de Me'alma also lay, being that everybody comes from everywhere to daven in that place, lo matzim ezavni lay, they are not able to sell it at all. The havalei derabim is considered owned by the poet. Amar Avashi, hai bekinishta de masa machzio, the shul that is a masa machzio, which is a place in Bavel that Ravashi was, avagav de Me'alma also lay, even though people come from everywhere, you would think you wouldn't be able to sell it, based on what we just said, Kaven de daita didikasu, being that they come upon my das, yeah, with my understanding, they go by what I would decide. Iba'ina mezav nina lo. If I would want to, I could sell it. So, either pshat here, Rashi brings two pshat, Tosa, I should say, brings two pshatim. If most of the people coming there are going there to daven, right, and they don't actually give anything to the shul, they're not giving anything towards the bidding of the shul, but it is where they go to daven. So, generally speaking, because the shul understands that all these people are coming to daven, you can't sell the place because of that. Another pshat in the idea that the rabbin come there to daven is because the people give money towards it, right? So Tosa says, based on that second pshat, he learns that what Rav Ashi is holding, that people are giving me the money to support this place. They understand I will do what I want with it. So if I decide to sell it, I could sell it. There is another pshat that perhaps is brought by Rashi here, doesn't seem to say it, but it could be, simply because people understand that they daven there just as an act of davening there. They understand that Rav Ashi runs the place. And Mimela, they would, they, you know, he would be allowed to sell it. Beseder. Says the Gemara further. So, Meisvei, we're challenging this idea. We'll see what we challenge. Amar Rav Yehuda, Meisvei basically an essence shall tor seem. There's a shul that was run by coppersmiths. It's where they would daven. Shahai Yerushalayim is in Yerushalayim. Shemachru, they sold it to Rabbi Eliezer. So Asabo Kotzrachov, and Rabbi Eliezer did whatever he needed for the shul. He did whatever he wanted with that space. He didn't need it as a shul specifically. He demoted it from its kedusha seemingly. I v'ha hasam v'krachim hava. Over there was a shul that belonged to the large city, right? So how could they sell it? To say, Hahibe Kenishta Zutihava, that was some small shul, the Inu Avdua, and they, those coppersmiths, made it themselves. So it was privately owned, so they could sell it. As far as the part that says Rabbi Eliezer would do all of his needs, we don't seem to answer that. Why was he allowed to do that? So I didn't see here that Rashi, on one of the pages, talks about why that would be the case, Rabbi Eliezer have to do Kelvin Sarachin over here. We don't discuss it. Yeah, I'm not sure what to say about that. Why was Rabbi Eliezer allowed to do whatever he wanted with it? Unless the Gemara's understanding that the sale took away the sanctity also. But I don't know why, if you sell the shul, you should have to go Milan B'Kodesh, according to what we said. Sarachin over here, no one seems to discuss why that should be, why should he be able to use this for his own needs. Okay, tzarichin on that. There is such a thing, lahalach, I don't know if that's what's going on in this Gemara, there's such a thing you can make a shul tanai that should be able to do what you want with it, and I'll tell you, make a condition. I don't know, the Gemara is not clear that's what's going on here. We answer the question anyway that we posed. How could they sell? They could sell because it was privately owned and built in the first place. So the Gemara, Meisvei, the base Eretz Achuz Askam. The Psukim that talk about a nega appearing, a nega of Tzaras appearing in a house, says that it only happens in the house of the land of your inheritance. It means places in Eretz Israel that would be subject to the laws of inheritance divided up amongst the tribes. So Gemara says, Achuz Askam Yitam Minigayim. Only that which will be inheritance to you can become Tamei through Negayim of Tzaras. And Yerushalayim Yitam Minigayim. But the deal is Yerushalayim, which according to this Tanakhama was not divided up into the Shvatim, cannot become Tamei in Tzaras. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ani lo shamati. I didn't hear that. El makom mikdash bevad. Only the base of mikdash, that was not divided, and that could not become tamei v'tzaras. So Gemara says, habat the genesis, habat the mizoshes mitamin. The diak we're making for Rabbi Yehuda that only the base of mikdash, but the rest of Yerushalayim that indeed included shuls and batim mizoshes could become tamei. Amai hot the krachim havu. Certainly those belong to the general public of Yerushalayim. Now I see people point out that the question of the Tanakhama as well, just in the rest of the country, just not in Yerushalayim. Seemingly the question could be posed as much, and the Ritva says that. So we say back, but either way, the question is being directed for whatever reason on Rabbi Yehuda directly, that the rest of the buildings are about the Knesset, about the Yerushalayim, to become Tamei. Why should that be? They're owned by the public. So you see something owned by the public is no different than something privately owned. So you say, Ema Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ani lo shamati ela makom mekudesh bilvad. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda didn't say that. Maybe he says, I only heard that it's not subject to Tzaras, a place that is holy. That would dafka include shuls and batim and joshes. And that's what he would say. And it could be, I guess, the cheshwan would be, how's an anakasha and Tanakhama? Tanakhama agrees with that. And just Tanakhama added all of Yerushalayim also. That's what you'd have to say to answer up this question. But in either way, we answered this point that Nakasha was that you see something owned by the public is not different. And no, we're specifically saying it is different. That's what Rabbi Yehuda is pointing out. Says the Gemara, the Mai Kamithali, what are they arguing? This is kind of a side point. What's their argument here? Tanakama Savar, Lo Niskalki Yerushalayim Shvatim. Yerushalayim was not divided up to the tribes. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Niskalki Yerushalayim Shvatim. Rabbi Yehuda holds that it was divided up to the tribes. Right? If it's not divided up to the tribes, then it's not part of the Chuzah. Then the Psukim of Negayim of the house are not relevant. But if it is divided up, then it is a Chuzah. And it is relevant. Which, by the way, according to the initial reading of Rabbi Yehuda, Makom Mikdash would be very schwer, because we're going to say that everybody holds that, even Rabbi Yehuda holds, if Rabbi Yehuda holds that Yerushalayim was divided to the Shvatim, the Makom Mikdash also was. We'll see in a second, if you hold Yerushalayim was divided up, Binyamin and Yehuda, Dafka had a split within the Makom Mikdash. This is another confirmation probably in the correct way of reading Makom Mikudash, that the shuls were never split, never given to Shvatim, but the Makom Mikdash certainly was. Gemara continues, with a Pluksa Dani tonight. They're really involved, these Tanaim are really involved in a Machlokes, two different Tanaim. Tatani, the Brisa says, Maya v'chelko shal Yehuda, what was in the chelik of Yehuda? Har Abayis, Halishkos, V'Azaros. The Har Abayis refers to when he came into the Beis HaMikdash from the eastern side, so anything before the entrance was called Har Abayis. It just means there was no other name. The part of the mountain that didn't have any other specification was called the Har Abayis. Not the whole area we call nowadays Har Abayis, that's not included in this. It means it didn't have any further categorization to it. Halishkos are, there are chambers that were within what's called the Chel, which surrounded the place of the Beis HaMikdash. There is a space in between two different walls called the Chel. In the thing called the Chel that went all along the border, there were various chambers. Ha'azaros, Ha'azaros were the courtyards. There are three courtyards that are being referred to over here. There's something called Ezra's Nashim, where a person came to first. That was quite large. Then there was the Ezra's Yisraelim, where only Israeli men could go. And then after that, the Ezra's Kohanim, where only Kohanim could go. Those three Azaros are before the place called the Temple Courtyard, and that is not being spoken about here. Rashi makes that point over here, where he says the Azaros is as three of them, Ezra's Nashim, Ezra's Yisrael, and the Ezra's Kohanim. Okay, so all these things were in the Chelik, according to this Tana, of Yehuda. What of the Beis HaMikdash area was in the Chelik of Binyamin? Ulam, the sanctuary, we call it, Heichol is probably a better sanctuary. The Ulam is the antechamber for the sanctuary. The Heichol, or Beis Kodshei HaKodshim. Beis Kodshei HaKodshim is where the Aron was, etc. Now, this doesn't account for a large space in between what we just identified as Yehuda's area and what we identified as Binyamin's area, namely the whole part in the middle of the layout we'll have the Mizbeach, where the Kormanos were offered, which itself was quite large, 32 amos, and there's also 22 amos more space that's not been designated yet. So the Gemara says, Ritzua ha'isa yotzeis mechalko shal Yehuda v'nichnasus mechalko shal Binyamin. There was sort of a strand, literally a strap, that would exit from the chalik of Yehuda, meaning extending his chalik into the chalik of Binyamin. Uba mizbeach banami, and on it the mizbeach was built. Now, that itself is not, it sounds like the whole Mizbeach. In truth, we're going to, Rashi points out, that it was actually a very small part. Yehuda's territory went right up to the Mizbeach, and then from there it only extended on the southern side, exactly in Amma, that southern side of the Mizbeach and Amma width was there, and one Amma on the eastern side, which where it was his territory was anyway, just went further. Now that, there's a, something called the Mizbeach called the Yisod, which is the bottom part, the foundation, that's an Amma wide, and goes all around the Mizbeach, but specifically was not on this part that belonged to Yehuda. So really, none of the Mizbeach was actually built on Yehuda's area, because his territory ended before the physical structure of any part of the Mizbeach began. The Yisod was only in Binyamin's territory. But the Chor, what the Gemara means is that it was just positioned in a way that that it would surround the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was positioned there. It wasn't built there, it was built kind of around that part. But even so, even with that small amount of the Mizbeach that was or the borders of the Mizbeach that was not in Binyamin's territory, Binyamin took this very seriously. Binyamin at Tzadik minstayer aleha, b'kol yom. Binyamin at Tzadik, foreseeing this with Ruach HaKodesh, that this would be the division, was very pained over it. The Bola, he wanted to swallow off that part, he wanted that part to be in his territory. The rest of the part that we talked about that wasn't accounted for was in his territory, but he wanted also this part of the Mizbech. Shnevar chofei v'lov kol hayom. He was pained over it all the days. That pasuk literally is about Hashem, but the drasha here was saying about Binyamin. It's about Hashem's giving a bracha to Binyamin in Parshas Zos Bracha. But Binyamin itself was saying he was pained over this all the days. V'fikach zacha Binyamin v'nasu u'shpizgan l'shchina. Therefore, Binyamin, from his sire over this, became a host to the Shechina. Yeah, which is also learned out from the next part of that pasuk, that Oven Kesefav Shachem, and that Shem dwelled within his shoulders, meaning the Aron, where the Shekhinah would come down and speak, its presence was the most intense, was in Binyamin's territory. So that's the first Tana over here that holds that Yerushalayim was divided up to the Shvatim, including the base of Mikdash area. Ba'ai Tana, the next Tana, Savar, Lo Nischal Yerushalayim the Shvatim. It was not divided up. The Tanya, In Maskirin Batim Yerushalayim, you can't rent out houses to Yerushalayim. The people will be coming up Olarego wants to rent the space. He can't actually rent out houses Menesha Ain and Chalan because they don't actually belong to the people there. Rabbi Elezer or Elezer Bar Tzadik says, Omer, Af lo mitos. He can't even rent the beds. The beds are also on space that's communally owned because none of the land in Yerushalayim was divided up to the tribes. Sikach, Oros Kachim, Bali Ushpiz and Notan Osam Bizra. Therefore the deal is that the people who are coming to Yerushalayim and bring a korban toder or shlamim, something that's kashim kalim, where the bialim can eat eat from it, and they get the skins. Those skins were, it's understood that their hosts are able to take them forcefully as a sort of payment for staying there. It's not really a payment because we're not making a deal that the person is renting out the land. But it's understood that these things, which anyway could be shared, will be shared with the hosts. Says Abai Omer, Abai Shmamina, you hear from this, Orech Ara L'mishbach Inish Kufa U'mashcha B'ushbizeh, right? You hear from this that it's Derech Eretz for a person to leave a jug or skins for his host, and that's a normal thing to do. Thank you, Mr. Shem, we'll continue next time.